This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik with Howard Wilkinson. We've been talking about the Korean War and are now joined by two men who were directly involved. Bob McGeorge is commander of the Cincinnati chapter of the Korean War Veterans Association. He served with a heavy mortar battalion that spent more than 1,000 days on the front lines during the war. And retired anesthesiologist from Evendale, Dr. Bae Suk Lee. He escaped from communist-controlled North Korea early in the war and served alongside American and Allied troops. He came to Cincinnati in 1971. In recent years, he's been honoring local Korean War veterans with medals from the South Korean government. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100. You can email us, talk@wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter.
You know, I've known both of you gentlemen for a long time, and you both have fascinating stories to tell. Bob, maybe you would start first. How did a kid from Cincinnati end up where you ended up in 1950 on the front lines in a heavy mortar company?
Well, I was drafted. I was drafted just like everybody else. Actually, I was in the Navy Reserve when I got drafted, and I wound up in the Army.
Yeah.
And took basic training down at Fort Riley, Kansas, in heavy weapons, which happened to be the 4.2 mortar. And that's what I was in Korea. That's why they put me in a mortar battalion. We were the only mortar battalion like it in the United States Army. We are a full battalion of 4.2 mortars, which was we were understaffed. We had three companies instead of four. It was supposed to outfits over there were understaffed, but we had 36 mortars, and I'll tell you, that was a lot of firepower, and that's why we were very popular over there. We were assigned to about every division at one time or other, including the 1st Marine Division.
When did you hit the ground? When were you in the front
I hit the ground about January of 53. I spent the seven months in combat. And I served a couple of months after that before I came home. Hmm. But
what was it like? I mean, what were the conditions like being on the front lines for that long?
Very bad. It was cold in the winter, very hot in the summertime, and didn't have a lot of showers in those days. I think I was there for about 3 months before I had my first shower. So they don't do that nowadays. They do a lot better. But, conditions were pretty rough. We got probably shelled every day. There was hardly a day went by that we didn't get shelled.
Is that right? Yeah, you wonder about that. You wonder if there were periods of time where it was quiet.
Not many.
Yeah. It was almost constant.
Right.
What'd that feel like?
Scary. That's about the best way I could say it's scary.
How do you go to sleep at night knowing that's going on?
You didn't get a lot of sleep. You didn't get a whole lot of sleep. I've already gone like as much as 3 days without sleep. Maybe I catch a little nap here or there. But no, I didn't get much sleep.
And were you moving around or were you?
We moved. We were constantly on a move.
Yeah.
We might go in one position for maybe a day.
Right.
We pull out that night to another position.
Yeah.
I think the longest we ever stayed was at Harry Outpost in May of 53. We were over there. Well, we got there in April, really, and we stayed till after May. And even then, we moved out of there into another position, still firing on Outpost Harry.
Yeah.
But that's the way we did. We just moved from one place to the other.
Is that where you were when the armistice was signed?
No, we were over in the eastern part of Korea. I can't even tell you what area it was. I can't tell you. I don't know. There's a lot of times I was places that I didn't know where I was.
Yeah. Dr. Lee, talk to me about your experience. You grew up in the North and under that communist regime, and you got away. You escaped. Tell me that story.
I was born in 1929, and World War II started 1941, and I was at the seventh grade. So we were under Japanese occupation as colony. We were marching street of whole school when Pearl Harbor was attacked, celebrating.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we were Japanese school, about 4/5 were Japanese teacher. Only about 1/5 was Korean teacher. Anyhow, 1945, August 15, we were actually, when we were fourth grade of high school, we were working at Hungnam. It's one of the biggest industrial complex, Japanese war machine in Asia. No school, so 1945, I think from April 1st is the beginning of school year, we were moved to the factory town and sleeping there for three shifts a day, you know, sometimes the morning shift. So we were working as a factory labor, no school. Then August 15, Japanese emperor surrendered. And that was the end of Japanese era. We were jubilant. Now we brought back our country, independent. You know, we can come over disgrace. Then,
but then things changed.
Unfortunately, North Korea was under communism of Russia. Russian soldier came to occupy north of 38th parallel. Everything changed. North Korea under Russian Stalin dictatorship changed the revolutionary transformation very quickly. One of the first things when communist system start revolution, whole family traditional value disappear. Father, mother is no more your parents like we was, you know, unconditional love kind of things. They still have that, but children at the school brainwashed. They cancel all kinds of traditional system. Namely, school, we have like a place name, and also like United States, like in memory of Eisenhower High School or Highway, they eliminate all those traditional, that is capitalistic things. So they eliminate.
They changed all the names of all those?
Yeah.
Yeah, school names. And so even they changed school from girls' school to boys' school and boys' school to movement, just to eliminate it.
And you could not live with this.
No. Then
why did you make the decision to leave, to go to the South?
So I was 16, World War II was over. I stayed almost like more than half a year, attended school. Now we don't have an English class, Russian class. And Russian is communism doctrine was taught. You have a meeting of, it's a mandatory meeting. You have to attend. And you have a self-criticism, what I have done wrong to the system kind of thing. You have to criticize myself. Anyhow, if I stayed long, and the school, we started to have a demonstration, marching, and it's all put down. There's no, you know, like you see in democratic country, free will demonstration. In under communist system, it's totally just put down. You will put them in jail. Your parents are not notified where you are at, what the charges is. There's no fair justice, no due process, anything at all.
And Dr. Lee, how did you get out?
So year later, next year, 1946, I didn't attend go to school for a while, maybe a couple months. I was planning to escape my parents was also, if you stay here, either you are recruited for communist military or you put them in jail, disappear. So we were planning to escape South Korea. That time, you already under watch. The train you ride, I rode the train for maybe about one-third of a distance, then came out of a train and then crossed over a mountain and the river. Actually, I don't know how many days it took.
Yeah.
We had a guide. I think my parents paid for a group of maybe six, seven people with a guide guiding us. So that's where I fled.
Mm-hmm. You traveled with your family then? Your whole family was fleeing? By yourself?
You're by yourself.
Myself.
All by yourself?
Yes. I am oldest among nine brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
So I fled.
Bob, did you commonly see people from the North that had moved into the South when you were there?
I never had that experience.
Yeah.
I was on the front lines all the while I was over there.
Sure.
So we wouldn't have saw that.
Yeah.
That was 1953, Bob was saying. That time was toward the end of the Korean War.
Right.
So when the Korean War started, there were even a couple of years before that, 1948, mm-hmm. was the last time any civilian could cross, escape from North Korea because of whole Soviet period was militarized. There's no way you can escape. We call even rat cannot escape North Korea.
Bob, tell me a little bit about the Chapter 121 of the Korean War Veterans Association and what you are trying to do with that organization, you know, to keep the memory of this alive.
I think we started, I think it was in 1998, I'm not sure. Might have been a little before that. The National started in 1985. And our mission is really for, you might say, education, trying to get out to the people what the Korean War was really like. And for years, we went into the schools. But that kind of slowed down a little bit. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. But I still do one school a year. For a friend of mine who was a teacher, she has me come every year. But we used to have a team go into schools, and we've done other things. We've went to nursing homes even and give presentations. But that's the main thing, is just get the word out there about the war. Because a lot of people, you'd be surprised that many people don't even know anything about the Korean War.
Yeah.
Does that surprise you since you obviously had so much direct contact with it? Are you surprised how many people don't have knowledge of it?
Yes, I am.
And what's your goal in getting them to know about? What do you want them to get out of that information?
That it really was a war.
Yeah.
It's been called everything but a war until just recently or years.
I mean, it wasn't until the Clinton administration
he
declared that it was an actual
war. That it was
an
actual war.
And it was no longer called the Korean conflict. Mm-hmm.
In fact, that's when they dedicated the monument in Washington.
Right.
Is when he did that.
Yeah. Dr. Lee, I know. Tell me a little bit about the kind of appreciation that you have for men like Bob and others who served, other Americans who served in your native country, and what they did.
So, as I said in the beginning, I lived through different ideology. You know, I call it season of ideology, imperialism, under Japanese, mm-hmm. North Korea under Soviet communism, then South Korea, and now we live in the United States. But through communism is the worst kind of system, worse than Japanese imperialism. That time we could travel around, we could meet, we could say anything against even Japanese among ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even Japanese try to change Korea name from us, like Japanese Korean people. You know, you cannot do that way. But when I retired from my practice in the United States in Marietta, Ohio. I came to Cincinnati. Then I found out the Bob's organization, Korean War Veterans Association, was fundraising for building monument. It was not much amount. And I attended the meeting. They were saying, we have only half of $5,000 collected. We cannot go like this for forever. And that really touched me.
And it touched you because these men had sacrificed for your country.
I owe my life, my country, my Korean people, my people. I owe what I live my life here is I all owe to Korean veterans. Without them, I am not here. Mm-hmm. I probably long gone, and I feel I don't deserve. Korea was the poorest country, in the second poorest country in the world, 1950. GDP was $87. Worse than Korea was, I heard, India. Now, about $20,000. We will be well-to-do to remember all these Korean War veterans, their noble resolutions, their gift to Korean people, freedom, prosperity, and country. We went through a whole lot, but this is, I am living in the United States. This is a dream come true, really.
Yeah.
I wish those who live in South Korea or even in the United States, like a lot of Korean-American immigrants live in the United States, we should remember how what brought us to here.
Mm-hmm.
We are best country in the whole world. Land of opportunity, hope, free, the braves. I wish this is the 60 years, end of 60 years come anniversary. But maybe in South Korea and the United States, war is over. But you have to understand nature and the strategy of North Korean.
We're gonna take a short break right here. I want to remind people that they can call in and ask both of you questions. Our phone number is 513-419-7100. You can email your questions, talk@wvxu.org. We're talking with two veterans of the Korean War, and we'll continue our discussion in just a moment. This is Cincinnati Edition.